All right, great to have you here this morning in Dallas at the Great American Truck Show. Well, it's over now. It's not the show no more. Amen. Y'all looking bright and cheerful. Glad to have you out this morning, and got the tent now. We're getting classy. We don't have to get in the sun. All right, get your Bible there in front of you. I'm going to be reading out the New King James Version. If you have your own, it may read a little bit different, but hopefully say the same thing. And those that you have there are a gift from Truck Stop Ministries to you. We want you to keep that. Write in it, make notes, of course. But we ask you to read it. And that'll read the Word of God. And by the way, read it out loud. You hear me say this on the radio all the time. But you need to read it out loud, because the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. That's right. We need to hear it. Satan don't worry too much about what we read as long as we don't hear it. Because he knows that goes, what you see goes in your mind. You read signs all the time, right? You just glance it, read it, automatically store it in your mind, and it's gone. Well, and two, the mind is his playground. So that's why he don't mind you putting it up there. He don't want you to hear the word, okay? So mess him up and listen to it. All right? That's not even part of it. So that's just a commercial or something. Hey, we want to talk about living in peace during the storm. When everything's going okay, it's not hard to have peace and joy, right? When the loads are paying good, truck's running good, chicken lights burning bright, you don't get no better than that. I tell you what, folks at our church don't understand me when I start talking about our chicken light. But I used to deliver all over Dallas, Fort Worth, and Edward Pies out of Atlanta, and head out to Clovis, New Mexico, pick up swinging meat, go back home. And ain't nothing better than running across the clear Texas night when you can't see nothing but chicken lights. It don't get no better than that. I can get high on that. See, I don't have a problem lusting after your wife, but when it comes to your truck, that's a different story. Especially some of these we see in the show, right? Of course, they're so good looking, you almost don't want to touch it. Afraid to fall apart. But they are some beautiful ones here, aren't they? And these people deserve applause and whatever they get for that work. But if you're walking through a storm, or a storm comes in your life, a problem comes in your life, that changes everything. It was 2 years ago this week. I was in Amarillo. You've heard the story. I'm not going to repeat it. We lost our little granddaughter, 6 years old. And my cliche, I'll tell you this, my cliche has changed a lot. Usually walk up and say, well, she's in a better place. And she is. You know what? That don't help nobody. I'm sorry. All of a sudden, I found myself, I said that 1,000 times probably to other people, but when somebody come told me that, that didn't help my hurt at all. You know? All of a sudden, we found ourselves in a deep, deep, dark valley. The Bible says in, I think it's Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
Always. Another place it says, give thanks in all things. Not for all things, mind you, but in all things. David, the psalmist David, you can turn to page 268, to 1 Peter 1 in the Little Bible. The psalmist David, how many, everybody's heard the 23rd Psalm 1,000 or 2 times, right? I mean, it's very popular. I love it. You're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 in that one, page 228. But the psalmist wrote in Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Now, What is, anybody know what the next phrase in that verse is? For you are with me. Right? God, the psalmist saying, God, you're with me. And because you're with me, I don't have to worry about anything. Question we got to ask ourselves today, is he with us? If you've invited him to be with you, he's there. God is a respecter of your thoughts and desires and will not force himself on you or me. And if he's not with you, he didn't leave. If he's not with me, I'm the one that left. Amen? It's my choice every day where I serve God or not. He don't make me do that. He don't make you do that. But the psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So there's comfort in the valley of the shadow of death when you got God's presence with you. 1 Peter 1 that you're at. Let's begin reading at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Watch this. In verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. What a promise. What a promise. It don't matter what comes our way. God's going to work it out for good. Most of you know we may be in trouble. Most of you know, what was it, honey, when you discovered, when they gave you the... Yeah. May 14th, get that mic. May 14th, she discovered a lump in her breast. Well, we thought, it'll be all right, it's just a lump. Not going to be anything. We're going to go get a test, and the test is going to say nothing to it. But that's not what happened, is it? Talk to me. What happened? All right. It was suspicious and needed to have what? A biopsy done. How many of you ladies here have been through this? Anybody? All right. How many cancer survivors here? All right. We've got 3, 4 besides you. And then what happened? Okay. Did the biopsy. It came back positive. Cancer. Not what we want to hear. How many others? Raise your hand again that survived cancer. You remember hearing those words? Yeah. When they said the big C. Right? Of course, in years gone by, if you were diagnosed with cancer, you might as well hang it up. It's over. But thank God for technology today. God has allowed mankind to come up with the technology we have. We need to give him the credit for what the doctors are doing. And if the doctor's smart, they'll do that. God allowed us to be able to go to one of the finest hospitals I think I've ever been in. I'm very, very impressed with Northside Hospital in Atlanta. And the doctor, her doctor was a lady surgeon, which impressed me even more. That's all she does. It's just breast cancer. That's all she does. I think. Anyway, she's cancer for sure. God gave us that. But now when we heard that news, how many knows we didn't jump for joy? How many knows that rejoicing in the Lord always was a little bit hard to come up with? You know what I mean? Some of you got other bad news in your life, maybe a death, divorce, some kind of tragedy come along, and you got that news, and all of a sudden, it just felt like your whole world was falling apart. You remember that? When those things happen? Peter here is writing, and he says, though, that an inheritance is waiting for us in heaven. What do you suppose that is? We can't even comprehend how great that is. There's words in the Bible, there's description of heaven, but I don't think we can even comprehend that. But we can live in peace during the storm. Now, watch verse 6. You have 1 Peter 1 with me? Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. In other words, you love Jesus even though you've not seen him. This is what it's all about, folks. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. We receive that by faith. When the storm comes along, we got to remember what our inheritance is by faith. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. Anybody remember that verse? Sometimes I wish that wasn't in there. Because I got to remember that when the trials come our way. Jan and I are just like you and everybody else. Everybody has trials come along. Everybody has things happen. Everybody, sometime or another, goes through a storm of life. How many of you have been divorced? Golly, don't you raise your hand. I thought she raised her hand for me. Oh. Start saying, you know something I don't know. You know, when people come to us and talk to us, they're going into that or going through that, sometimes out of habit, we'll say, I know how you feel. But we don't. I don't. I don't want to know either, to be honest. I don't ever want to know how you feel. But I can sympathize with you at the same time. You might not have lost a grandchild, but you can sympathize with us. You might not have had cancer, but you can sympathize with those who have. In fact, a lot of people do the walk. Now we're going to get into a convoy for that, for the cure. Even though the person is in a valley, even though we may be going through a tremendous valley, through a tremendous storm in life, we can still rejoice. We can still rejoice. I could stand here all day and tell you stories that would bore you probably of storms that she and I have gone through in the last 42 years. Of all the things that I admire about her is her taste in men, though. She's got a real great taste in men. I can say that far. Uh-oh.
Heal her sight.
And by the way, pray for us, because after 25 years on hormones, the doctor took her off, of course. And men, if you hadn't been there, you don't have a clue what that's like. He does? Okay. Been there?
Help me, please.
Yes. Now, let me say this. Murder is not an option. We've already talked about that.
I said jump down to us. All right.
Hey, Jim Dunham does say it. That. Say it best. If you say,
Well, let's go on.
Go ahead.
There, that's a storm in itself, isn't it? But now, men, those of you who've been there, should we just give up on our marriage because that's going on?
No.
Can she help it? No. Things happen. Why God allows some things to happen, we will never know. It's hard for me to imagine some of these things being good. Now, after the fact, when we look back at it, you can say that turned out good. After all, that was good. Either I grew in my faith because of it, something happened because of it. Ephesians 6, we have the full armor of God, and sometime when you get a chance to look at it, turn to page 194. We'll get one verse there. Page 194. Oh, Ephesians 6:13. You see, God knew, as he always does, he knows everything, kind of like my wife.
You're going to be in trouble.
He's cruising today, I tell you.
He's
going to
ride in that trailer out there.
It's going to be a long ride back to Atlanta. But God, in his foreknowledge, knew all this was coming, and he gave us the protection from the storm. And as part of it is, you need to learn to put on the full armor of God every day, by the way. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. But we're going to read just verse 13 today. And it says simply this: therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You know, the next word, by the way, I cut it off there. The very first word at verse 14 is stand. What does it say? Stand firm, one version said. And somebody got a different version. Read that. Read verse 13. You got what you got?
NIV,
read that. Watch this. What I wanted to say is, it says when the day of evil comes, did it?
Yep.
It didn't say if it comes.
When.
He said when it comes. You know what that tells me? It's going to come. Now, he tells us in the Word of God that the day of evil, quote unquote, is coming. Why don't we get ready for it? When they tell them that a hurricane is coming down in Florida, they don't waste any time. They start buttoning up, right? People live there. They start nailing plywood up, and they don't wait till the storm gets there. It's too late then. Gonna blow it away. So we need to prepare for the storm that's gonna come. How do we do that? We do that by getting the Word of God in us. How do we do that? By hearing it. That's right. How many's got the Bible on CD or cassette in your truck? Great. We got any left. I don't know if we got any left. We were giving them away. But that is the best investment you can ever make. When you lay down and go to sleep, I highly recommend let that play. Just let it play. Because all the time you're sleeping, only thing you're hearing is what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. You know what it'll do? It will strengthen your spirit, man, to where it will overcome obstacles. It will just shock you. It will really try it. I dare you to try it. Because Romans 12:2 tells us that we're not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Renewing of the mind. Now notice that, by the way. And that verse, that word says renewing. I hated English when I was in school. Almost flunked it. But after I got saved, began to read the Bible, you know what? I love it. And why? Because I look at things like that suffix, ing. What does that indicate? Anybody remember?
More than once.
More than once. Ongoing. Exactly. So that tells me my mind is never renewed. It needs to be renewing all the time. Why? Because the stuff around us is going in our mind and clogging our mind. But now watch this. If we read the Bible silently, okay, We get up every morning, read our Bible silently. Where does that go? Remember what I said? That goes where? In the mind. Meanwhile, we're hearing all the evil around us. Watch this now. Where does that go? In our spirit. Anything we hear goes in our spirit, man. And it's there forever. It cannot and never will be erased. Somebody could tell you, I hate you. Said probably worse than that to you. They could spend their whole life saying, I'm sorry. But who knows, you will never forget what they said. You may forgive them, but you will never forget it. Why? Because you heard it. See? Satan is smart. He's pumping us full of stuff all the time. Then when we get in the storm of life, we're going to go on what we have heard, which is what he wants us to hear. That makes sense? So before the storm comes, we need to get the Word of God in us by hearing it, and it will well up inside you when the storm comes like you wouldn't believe. That's the only thing that sustained us. We were on the way out of Atlanta, heading out on a two-month trip that included the Vegas show, where we found out the news. So we just turned around at the north side of Atlanta and went back home. I said, everything's on hold. We're going home. Now, of course, the initial shock, you know how it is. Some of you have been there. Kind of started to wear off. You got to, okay, let's get the thing together here. What we're going to do. What happened was the Word of God began to well up in us and say, okay, it's bad. Bad news, not what we wanted. But the Word of God sustained us. And then, of course, word got out, and y'all started praying. Y'all started praying. Your prayers is what energized that Word of God in us. That's the only way we got by, right? Am I right? Otherwise, I don't know what we'd have done. Now imagine if you don't have God, as we mentioned back in Psalm 23:4, if he's not with a person, they don't know God, they don't listen to God, they don't hear God's word, then they get in a storm and they're in trouble. Now, I don't know about you ladies, but men have so much pride, we're not going to ask for help. Heaven forbid needing help. I got it together. Ask any drug addict. I'm all right, you know. Them other people got the problem. Been there and done that. I know. But one day we got to come to the point and say, God, I need help. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. And we were there. We just said, Lord, we know you're going to take us through it, but we can't handle this by ourselves. But with your help, right, we'll be okay. In fact, I got the scriptures, put them in our DVD player at home on a CD. And every morning, I got up and turned that on. First thing I did, turn that on and just let that play. I didn't sit down, in front of it. But all the time I was around the house helping her, working in my office at our house, on the laptop, and all that stuff. The Word of God was going throughout our house, and I was hearing it. What did that do? That welled up inside me, and even though we're in the middle of this storm, in the middle of a valley, we're going to make it. We're okay. All right. You don't have this, but Isaiah 43. By the way, God used this particular scripture to get fear out of my life. I had a lot of fear in my life. I'm talking about like claustrophobia. Anybody claustrophobic here? You know what I mean? God, in his blessing, didn't let me get locked up before I got saved, because if they'd shut the door behind me and I just realized I can't get out, no matter how big or little it is, but if I can't get out, you'd come unglued. But watch this in Isaiah 43. It says, but now thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob. How many knows that God created us? Amen. He says, And he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Fear not. Pretty bold, isn't it? Now watch this, though. For I have redeemed you. If you're born again, God has redeemed you. God has redeemed you. He said, I have called you by your name. You are mine. Now, buddy, you talk about having influential friends. You talk about hobnobbing with the big boys. God Almighty said, you are mine. I don't know about you. That gave me chill bumps. Just think about it. The man that designed the universe, that makes the wind blow, that does everything, says, you are mine. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You know why he said that? Because I asked him to come into my life one time. I asked him to take over my life. And if you do that, he'll do that. But he's not going to intrude. Not only does he say, you're mine, he said, when you pass through the water. Say that with me. When you pass through the water. I'm going to pass through some water. When? And then it says, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. I'm going to walk through fire. I'm going to have storms. Might as well get ready for it. If you don't think you're going to have a storm, you're in la-la land. That's all I can tell you. Is any combat veterans in here besides me? Two, three, all right. Combat veteran. I will never forget getting to Vietnam and the introduction and our orientation we went into. And, you know, I had my marksman badge for basic training. You know, I'm cool. I mean, I'm a squirrel hunter from South Georgia. You know, I aced that. That ain't no problem, okay? Hang on a second. But we got over there, first of all, we landed in Guam. And, you know, then they decide where in country you're going and all that stuff. Well, our group wasn't assigned nothing. And the sergeant said, by the way, group, I forget, we were A, B, C, something. He said, you're going to be with us for 3 or 4 days. So we cheered, hey, all right, you know. And he said, do you want to know why? And it got deathly silent. He said, they've blown the runway up. We got to build another one before you can land where you're going. How many know we didn't cheer no more? Oh, no. Great. Now, here's the thing. If anybody ever flown on a C-130 aircraft, you know how they land. They bounce about 5 times before you ever get settled down. It's a great aircraft. Now, picture this. 19 years old. We took off, headed on in, and this stupid thing, the first time I've ever been on a 130, of course, and he bounces about 3 times, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, we're getting bombed already. We're dead. We're not even going to make it to the terminal. Well, of course, it wasn't nothing but the airplane landed on a rough runway. But what I was going to tell you, then we got an orientation. This big old sergeant said, you're mighty proud of that marksman badge. Said, you did all that, and you knocked all them targets down. And basically, he said, think about it. These targets going to shoot back. And 19 years old, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Uh-oh. We're in trouble. You know? And I slept through a lot of the classes at basic training. I know you didn't do that. I was, as the sergeant said, I was testing my eyelids to see if there's holes in them. You know? But all of a sudden, it hit me. I'm in the middle of this thing. And now I need to learn everything I can. Well, anyway, we got into survival mode, and God allowed me to come home. Because of my mama's prayers, by the way. It sure wasn't because of mine. But I wasn't living for God then. But just like there, they gave us equipment to use in a physical war. Flak jackets, steel pots, that sort of thing. God gave us the full armor of God to survive the storms in life that come along, and they're going to come along. You may not serve in the military, but these storms are going to come along. Turn to page 197 in that Bible, Philippians 4. I quoted Philippians 4:4 a while ago, where it said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, let's look at verse 6. Now, this is kind of tough, I tell you. This is tough to digest, but it's good. This is good. Look what verse 6 says. It says, be anxious for nothing. What's that old saying? Don't worry about it. Be anxious for nothing. Wouldn't it be great to actually be able to do that? But it goes on, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what happens? Verse 7. Read it together. Go ahead. Now, a lot of times we just read verse 7. How many times have you heard verse 7 quoted? Now, verse 7 is wonderful, but you notice it starts out with the word and. That means it's not the beginning of the thought. See? And when? It's after you get to the point where you rejoice in the Lord always, verse 4, and verse 6, we get to the point where we're anxious for nothing. Even though we get in the storm, we know that God's going to see us through that storm. Okay? I don't have time today, but go on and read verse 8 and 9 when you get time. It gives you a formula to think about. It tells you exactly what to think about. The great thing about trucking is you got a lot of time to think going down the road. The bad thing about trucking is you got a lot of time to think. That could be positive things or
negative.
Right? I remember the last job I had was Brand Brothers Produce. They sold the Winn-Dixie. Guess where I went every time?
Winn-Dixie.
Wasn't a matter of where I'm going, which one. I went to Pompano so much, they called me Pompano Joe. I could go down there blindfolded, you know. I get on the Florida Pike, set that Caterpillar 4 1/4, just eat up that Florida highway, sit back, mash the cruise, just literally tilt the seat back and relax. But what I did during that time is I would put on worship and praise music and listen to that, because I needed to be uplifted, because I knew eventually it's not going to be a pretty night in Florida. I'm going to have a storm to face. It's my nature, it's your nature to think about negative things. We're just kind of geared that way. I joke about it when people give me directions. Well, I don't do it so much anymore because we got GPS, but how many has ever had somebody say, you go through 3 red lights, right? 3, 4, whatever. And I would say, I can't do that. Why not? I can't go through a red light. Well, you know what I mean. I know what you said. Now, well, we are so geared. How many knows that light's green just as much as it is red? But what do we call it? A red light. Why? We're geared to the negative. That's just nature. Well, we got to get past nature. We got to get past our natural instinct, if you please, and start trusting God. Okay? Turn to page 234. Page 234. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 1. What we call Little John. Not St. John, but 1 John. Over close to the back. You got 1st, 2nd, 3rd John over there. I want you to read for me a tremendous promise that God gave us in His Word that's applicable to anybody at any time, anywhere. Who wants to read that? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Somebody read that for me. I don't have it. All right. If we do what? He will do what? He will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All of it. How many knows that, and some of you have experienced this, that not long after you become a born-again Christian, Satan come to you, it didn't work. You didn't do nothing. It was just an emotional thing. You know what? When I was running, again, out through here, of course, I had a big sleeper back in those days. Had a 36-inch. Ordered that truck new in 76. With the largest sleeper Peterbilt offered, and it was 36 inches. The guy said, what do you want with such a big sleeper? What would he do if he saw yours? But I had my Bible, if you remember, it had just a little crawl through. But right inside that, where I could reach it, was my Bible. And Satan get on my back just like he does yours. And he still does, by the way. He don't mind getting on mine. I don't know about yours, but he comes to attack me right regular. And I hope he keeps doing that. Why do I want him to do that? Because I don't even think we're friends. I was at a clergy meeting, and if you've never been to one of them, you're at... Anyway, we won't go there. Anyway. In this room full of pastors, and I was sharing about some of the attacks Satan had done in our life and on the ministry of whatever. And one, give me one of them, that's doctor to you, bud, look. You know what I mean? That's doctor so-and-so. He said, we don't ever experience that in our church. And I'm like Peter. I speak and think later. That's not a good plan, by the way. I don't recommend that. And before I thought of myself, I looked at him and said, sir, you got the biggest problem of all. Now I done waded off in it. And he looked over them reading glasses that I can't stand somebody to do that. But anyway, he looked at me and said, just what do you mean? I said, sir, the only reason Satan's not after you is he's got you. The only reason he don't attack your church is he's in it. Now, I don't know the guy. I don't even remember where I was at, so it don't matter. The only reason he's not attacking you is he's not afraid of you. Okay? I don't enjoy the attack. I wish I could live and never get attacked again, but it ain't going to happen. I wish I could preach to you a rosy little sermon and tell you once you get saved, everything okay. Everything will be okay. It will be okay, but the storm is definitely going to come. And if you're smart, the first thing you do is start preparing for that storm. Right now. Right now. While we're here on a beautiful Dallas day, the sun shining, the birds singing, chicken lights all burning. Well, we couldn't see them, that's right. Now's the time to make a decision. Now, you're going to make a decision this morning, either to go with God or not. It's your choice. I'm not going to come around and ask you what you did, because I believe it's real personal. Some of you are already born again. You know God. You're living for Him the best you can. That's all anybody can do. But I want to close out by praying a simple little prayer. And according to that, 1 John 1 and 9, it said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're not going to itemize sin because we don't have all day. That might take a while.
We might miss something.
In fact, I was born again in December 19th, 1971, and I'd probably still been there now trying to go through my list. But when we say, Lord, forgive me my sins, or whatever phrase you want to use, it's all in a package. Because 1 John 1:9 says, He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, how many knows we can go in and shower, get all cleaned up, come back out here, if you pull a flatbed especially, go out there and start handling the tarp, all that stuff. How many knows that shower leaves pretty quick?
About 2 minutes.
That's right. Sometimes I'll say my right guard has left.
Now you got the left guard.
But now what do you do? What do you do? Do you just stay dirty, or what do you do?
Take another shower.
Well, we get saved and God cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and then we get out into a storm and we don't do exactly what we're supposed to do, and we find ourselves sneaking off or slipping off into sin again. What should we do? Come back to God in repentance. Come back to God. He didn't go nowhere. You did. Or I did. Right?
We lost ourselves.
Here's the thing. If you're not exactly where you need to be with God today, and I didn't say perfect because ain't nobody perfect. If somebody tells you they're perfect, you walk away from them real quick before the lightning bolt comes. And I've had people tell me that. There is a denomination that actually teaches that. There's a pretty big denomination in America that teaches that they are perfect. They got a radio program in Atlanta called The Perfect Church.
Oh, wow.
They don't sin. I had a guy tell me that one time. He said, I don't sin. I said, you just did. He said, how? And I said, you lied. You just lied. Unfortunately, none of us are ever going to be exempt from sinning, because we live in this sinful body, in this world that's full of sin. Does that give us an excuse? No. No. Most of us here have raised children, and I think the person ought to have a combat badge just for that. We've been through two. We got two wonderful children, just had our 10th grandchild. Praise God. She came home yesterday from the hospital. She had to stay a little while. She was preemie. But you know what? We give those children instructions. We expect them to carry them out. Right? Now, if they mess up and come say, well, Daddy, Mama, I didn't do whatever, and I'm sorry. You'd usually say, well, that's all right. Go back and correct it. Do it again. Whatever. But now, if they do that every day or every week with the same old thing, what's going to happen? You'll say, wait a minute. You need to grow up. In fact, I heard my mama say that a few times. Anyway, you need to grow up. Quit doing that. This is what God is saying in a much kinder, loving way, is grow up. The Bible talks about maturing in the Word. You can't do that unless you hear it. So, one, we're going to pray the prayer, and we're going to pray it together. I do this all the time. If you've been around me, you know what I'm going to do. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me out loud with your heads up and eyes open. Because if you're driving down the road, please don't close your eyes to pray. That thing right there's got plastic in the front. It can't stand an impact like that. And I'm only about a foot and a half back from it. So, and please don't get on your knees to pray going down the road. But no, in all seriousness, we pray anytime, anywhere. Amen? I want to close this morning by offering you the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And or, if you've been there and let sin come back in your life, you pray this prayer, it's going to be gone. We got a promise that we read in the Bible a while ago. Amen? It don't matter what it was. It don't matter what you've done or not done. You know, there's a sin of commission, what you did. Then there's a sin of omission for not doing what you're supposed to do. So we can go either way. But the good part is we get forgiveness. So if you would, I want you to pray this. Now, you say, I'm born again. I don't need to. You're right. If you're born again, you're born again. But somebody beside you may need to pray this and want to pray it. And we don't want to point them out. I don't believe in embarrassing people, because that don't do any good. Preacher that married Jan and me, and we weren't saved then, 1966. You remember Brother John, he would come down the pulpit, walk down the aisle, get you by the arm. He come after me one time. The only reason I didn't deck him is because they was with me. That don't work. I mean, scare tactics don't work. I can tell you all about hell, and it's real. And if you're not saved, you're going there. That's true. But when you get past the scare part, just like 911, a lot of people came to Christ, right? Remember that? And then it wore off after a while. People don't worry no more. So they went right back where they were. We don't want to do that. We want to get a hold of God and stay with Him. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Forgive me where I've done wrong. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Amen. Now, if you meant that, He did exactly what His word said He'd do, and the sin is gone. Now, some people around you is not going to forget it. They'll remind you. Satan's going to remind you. He comes to me sometimes. When I'm real tired, I don't know about you, but if I'm exhausted, that's when he comes. Because I'm tired physically. He started talking about stuff I did before 1971, for crying out loud. And you know what? For a while, I'll listen to it. I'm stupid. I'll actually give him time. It's like God said, we done had this conversation. I mean, I don't even know. In fact, I was praying one time about that happened, and I was praying and praying and praying, and it was like God had closed His ears. And I finally, in frustration, I said, God, why aren't you answering me? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Because Hebrews 8:12 says, I will remember your sins no more. God does not know right now the sin you just confessed that was in your mind, your heart. He don't even know about it. You say, God can't forget. He can do anything He wants to. He's God. Amen? You won't forget. But He's promised He will never bring it up again. Those that you went through a divorce, your ex-partner, spouse, might have brought some stuff up a few times. Caused some argument. We had to learn that after we got saved. The past is gone. The past is gone. Good, bad, ugly, it's gone. So anyway, thank you for being here today.